So following Jesus is about coming out of the darkness, being brought into the light of life. Follow Jesus is about communication. John chapter 10, verse 4. My sheep follow me because they hear my voice. They know my voice. So following the good shepherd is about listening to his voice. My sheep know me. They know my voice. They recognize my voice. I know them. So following Jesus is about a communication, about a relationship, about coming into the light, about responding to the invitation of Jesus. But also in that culture, those words "follow me" are issued by a rabbi to those who will become his disciples. So it's not a passive word that you put your name or you put a wee tick beside your name and that's you following. To follow actually meant to go with, to come into relationship with. There's a beautiful little verse in John, in the early books, early chapters of John, where Jesus says, I want disciples to come with me into the wilderness that they might spend time with me. And it's a Greek word called diatribo, and it means to rub into the skin. To rub into the skin. We have the phrase that your man's rubbing off on him. Or if your children are running about with somebody you don't really like, you're thinking, oh, I hope they don't rub off on them. Well, Jesus says, I want you to come with me that I might rub off on you. That's the picture of following the master, following the teacher, that he might rub off, that you might learn of him as you follow him. Follow me is a simple request, but with a huge impact. And I just, Stephen and I, over the last lot of Sundays, have been talking about following Jesus to the cross, from the cross, following Jesus in the next lot of weeks with a heart of compassion, following Jesus in the place of prayer. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, it's not Instagram or Twitter and however many characters, and it's passive. It's an active living relationship to follow him. Talking with Adrian earlier in the week and just sharing the words here in Luke 9 and in Matthew 16. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There is the call of Christ, but there is the cost of commitment. This is not cheap and easy. So to follow Jesus means to carry our cross. To carry our cross daily and follow him. Again, all of those verses there, Luke 9, Luke 14, Matthew 16, all emphasize this idea of following Jesus, carrying our cross and following him. It means, in essence, following Jesus is about dying to yourself every day. About living, if you like, a crucified life. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for you and I to live a crucified life? If somebody saw in Jesus' time somebody walking, carrying a cross, a Roman cross, they knew it was death. They knew this person was condemned to die. Well, in essence, but in a much healthier way, that we follow Jesus carrying our cross, dying to ourselves and following him. But what does that look like for you and I? What is the cost of commitment? Romans 12, verse 1 says to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. Because this is your spiritual act of worship. Worship isn't just singing cheap songs. It's about giving your life. This is my desire to honor you. Easy to sing. What does that look like in the rub of everyday life? The cost of commitment is dying to ourselves, carrying our cross. The cost of commitment is counting the cost. And Patty read the words for us just earlier on. What about the man who wants to go out and build a tower? First, will he not estimate the cost and see whether he can do it or not? The king who's going to go to war, he's going to look at the enemy army and he's going to look at his own army and think, can I achieve this or not? And if I can't, I will go and make terms of peace, or I will not start building. Following Jesus costs you nothing, but costs you everything. I read a while ago, in a Selwyn Hughes book about over in England, Arkwright's Folly, where this gentleman, Mr. Arkwright, loads of money, started to build this big grand building to impress all the neighbours, ran out of money, and it's still sitting to this day, half built, and it's known as Arkwright's Folly. Because he started to build, but he couldn't finish, or he wasn't able to fulfill his commitment. For you and I this morning, folks, to follow Jesus, there's a cost to this commitment, that we are to die to ourselves and that we are to count the cost before we start building. Luke 14, verse 28 bears that out. But for you and I, another thing today is that following Jesus, I believe, is a clash with culture. It is a clash with culture. We live in a selfie generation. Probably can't see the little sweet speech bubbles there, but hi, sweetie, how was school today? You can read about it in my blog, Dad. We live in the I generation, but it's not just the iPod and the iPhone and this, it's just I. And maybe we've always lived in that generation. We live in the selfie generation. We live in the consumer generation, where it's about what suits me, what makes me happy, what strokes my back. Where faith in Jesus is about dying to self. And so in the culture in which we live and the call of Christ, there's a disparity. There is a wrestle and there is a struggle. And so we are called to live in this wrestle with culture. The world around us, which wants to pull us away from the things of God and commitment to Christ. And following Jesus with everything. In preparing, I was reading some of William Barclay's words, and in his little commentary in Luke, he says, no one can ever say that they were induced to follow Jesus under false pretenses. No one can ever say they were induced to follow Jesus under false pretenses. But then he goes on to say that actually, I think as a church, we have done our people a disservice because we have made it easy. Let's lower the bar to follow Jesus as cheap and cheesy and cheerful as we can. I'm thinking, that is not what Jesus did. Jesus constantly raised the bar to say, following me is a cost. You're carrying your cross daily to follow me. And he goes on to say, we would be better to tell them that it must make all the difference in the world. To follow Jesus must make all the difference in the world. Can I ask you, as I ask myself, I'm not standing here 6 foot above contradiction. Am I following Jesus, living a crucified life? When Jesus says to Gordy, follow me, am I submitted to him? Counting the cost, carrying my cross, but then living in this clash with culture. Let's unpack that a little bit. Romans 12 and 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What is the pattern of the world? Well, this generation, selfie generation, consumer generation. Again, J.B. Phillips uses this verse or translates this verse in, do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but be transformed from within. So don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. When we unpack these verses in Matthew chapter 8, in Luke chapter 9, there is an impact on our family life. I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord. But first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus isn't saying, I want you to ignore your family. But he is saying that following Jesus will have an impact on your family life. In Luke chapter 9, these verses are borne out. I remember meeting a chap years ago, Pius McHale, a chap I was at Bible College. Karen and I were at Bible College with his brother, Noel. Pius Noel came from a Catholic background. And Pius, his wife, was put out of her house with a statue broken over her head because she came to faith in Jesus. I'm not being political when I say this. But in our own country, just across in Derry, this was a young girl who faced following Jesus in a way that we can't maybe begin to imagine. And it had a huge impact on her family life. I don't know if you experience following Jesus, and if you maybe within your family are maybe one of the only ones who would follow Jesus, that whenever it comes to parties or family gatherings or whatever, sometimes people are a wee bit awkward about you being there because you're like Jiminy Cricket in the Pinocchio film. You're the conscience that embarrasses people, and maybe you don't get invited. Because following Jesus has an impact on your family. Sometimes it can be painful and hurtful. Maybe following Jesus, like Pius's friend, or like somebody from a Muslim background today, they pay a huge cost for following Jesus with their family. Here Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. Let me go say goodbye to my family. Jesus says, no, come follow me. And say, he's not telling us to disregard or disrespect our family, but he's saying following me will have an impact on your family life. Following Jesus will have an impact on your finances. Oh, Gordy, don't go there, don't go there. Following Jesus will have an impact on your finances. The Son of Man, says Jesus, has nowhere to lay his head. What does following Jesus mean for you in your wallet or your purse? The rich young ruler was asked to follow Jesus, and I don't think Jesus was asking him to give, well, he was asking him to give away all his money, but he was making a point in that his money was too important to him. Go sell your possessions, give to the poor, then come follow me. Now, Jesus doesn't want us to live with nothing, but he is pointing out that following him will have an impact on our pocket. But what amazes me is this. Well, here, following Jesus in business, some friends that I can spend time with over in Coleraine own two supermarkets. They have chosen not to open on a Sunday and to live like that. They could make lots of money. They could make maybe more money, but they choose not to open on Sunday to allow family time. You've maybe read on or seen on TV the owner of The Entertainer, a massive toy chain of toy shops in England, has chosen, and actually I think it's beautiful on the sign, he says, we do not open on Sunday so that our staff can spend time with their family. Thinking, amen. Something wonderful about that. But he is getting all sorts of trouble because in huge shopping centers they want him to open and he will not open the stores. Now that's, I know, a matter of conscience that we all need to wrestle with about Sunday trading and so on. A chap that I worked with in Miller Boyd and Reed's drapery wholesaler many years ago, Andy was the second in command in the department. The traveler went off for a couple of weeks' holiday, and Andy started, he was sent out to be the traveler for 2 weeks to get the orders from all the different firms. Hope that makes some kind of sense to you. But as Andy went away, traveling all around Northern Ireland and into the south, into the border counties, and then after the first week, he put in his traveling expenses. His traveling expenses were much cheaper than everybody else's. And the travelers, the other travelers from the other departments in the firm, pulled Andy aside and said, "You're making us look really bad. Hike your expenses up." And Andy, a Christian fellow from down by Kilkeel, says, "No, I can't and I won't do that. I will put in my expenses for what they are, but I will not fiddle them." How does following Jesus affect your finances? Just in business. How does following Jesus affect your finances in pleasure? Be you a young person or older adult, maybe in your retirement. How does it affect your pleasure? Well, one of the things, I was chatting with Stephen about this during the week, I am amazed at people who follow football teams or rugby teams. When you hear some of the chaps, say, following Liverpool or Man United, and they're at every European match, I'm thinking, what impact must that have on your family? What impact must that have on your pocket for you to go and follow your team? And there's nothing wrong with following football or following rugby or concert tickets. The price of concert tickets today is ridiculous. I sound like a grumpy old man now. But what impact does following Jesus have on our finance? And if Jesus is most important, well, then why does the football club and following the football club get more money? And how much do we give to our church in our time, our treasure, and our talent if following Jesus is a cost, is a crucified life? How much time, treasure, and how much of our talent does our church get? Where maybe our clubs and societies take our time so much more. We're out 2 or 3 nights a week with them. But don't ask me to do too much in church, Gordy. You know, hang on a wee minute. What does it mean to follow Jesus? And the last thing in this little section is just about looking forward. Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord. But first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." William Barclay, again, a wise man. "No plowman ever plowed a straight furrow looking back over his shoulder. No plowman ever plowed a straight furrow looking back over his shoulder." Put our hand to the plow, follow me. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. And in those words, we read, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's throw off everything that hinders and entangles, the things that will stop us from following. And let us fix our eyes at the edge of the field and plow a straight furrow to that. But let us fix our eyes on Jesus and follow him." This is a huge call. The call of Christ, "Follow me," is massive. The cost of commitment to carry our cross, to count the cost. The clash with culture that will impact our family, that will impact our finances. But that Jesus says, "Set your eyes on me and follow me and go forward." And to finish with this, I love the story in John 21. Peter, way back on the beach in Galilee, has bowed the knee, said, "Lord, go away from me, I'm a sinful man." And Jesus says, "Come follow me." And he follows Jesus for 3.5 years. And they come to Jerusalem. And Jesus, or Peter says, Lord, I'm even prepared to die for you. And Jesus says, before the cock crows three times, you will deny me this night. And Peter's devastated. He goes out and he weeps bitterly outside the courtyard. He later on goes back. Now, Jesus is risen, and Jesus says to Mary, go tell the disciples and Peter, I will meet them in Galilee. He goes back to Galilee. He says to his friends, I'm going out to fish. And they're out fishing. And John in the boat says, it's the master. And he points at Jesus on the seashore. And there's smoke coming from a little campfire. And Peter puts on his clothes and dives into the water, which is a bit silly. And he swims to the shore and he meets Jesus. Jesus talks with him, gives him breakfast. Says, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And then Peter replies, yes, Lord, you know I love you. You know all things. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter, of course, gets it wrong again. Says, yeah, but what about them? What about the others? What about him? Jesus says, that's nothing to do with you. You come follow me. And I want to just stop here this morning. Because none of us are fit for this call. And maybe you're sitting this morning saying, Gordy, this is too much. It's too much for Peter. It's too much for me. But Jesus wants to meet us on the beach and pick us back up and say, look, come follow me. I will give you the strength. I will walk with you. But these words of Jesus, come follow me, have a huge implication on our lives. Can we share a prayer together, please? Lord, it is only through your grace that we are given the strength to follow you, to carry our cross daily and follow you. And Lord, we ask even this morning that you would help us to count the cost, the impact on our families, on our future, on our finances. But Lord, if we say we make you number one, allow us to explore and examine what that means and how that works out in action. Lord, give us your grace. Give us your strength, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as the...